Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe After Hours. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Ed, we're going to look at some the women of Hustler, Penthouse, and Playboy comics this episode. But first, talk about some of our comics and the superhero women of underground Russian comics, Octobrion in 1976. This is my newest comic. It is the world's first blacklight comic, printed with fluorescent ink, and has been shipped to comic shops all over the world, is available now wherever you get comics, but maybe for a limited time because we are almost sold out at the publisher level. So if you want this weird comic in your collection, and if you're watching this show, I think you do, pick it up whenever you see it because it is not going to last long.
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor. I'm serializing my Red Room comic strips right now. Finished the fourth issue this past week, man, and has my crazy damsel wrenching old deformed lady's eyeball out with a Jolly Rancher stick. Look at that spit chain right there, man. That's kind of pornish.
We are very much on point this episode.
Probably the first time ever. $3 gets you the archive. New strips every Tuesday.
I mentioned Penthouse. I don't have a one-shot of the Penthouse character, but a big piece of the Penthouse character was reprinted in this issue of Kramer's Ergo. So we will use this for reference for that part. But we're going to start with, I think, Playboy.
Yeah, sure.
You know, these were all sort of competitors for, like, the men's magazines, if you will. I don't know if that's even the right term. The porn magazines. Yeah, exactly.
The titty mags.
And I think that in terms of quality, they kind of break the way you would expect them to.
Yeah.
You know, Playboy being the highest production values and probably the most tame material.
Right. You know what's crazy is, like, just like if unless the cover's the best part of the Hustler thing, because see, I don't know about this. It looks better than the Penthouse one.
All right. Well, let's dive into some.
Yeah.
Little Annie Fanny, Playboy. Hugh Hefner worked closely as editor on this, and it's known for Harvey Kurtzman and Will Elder.
Yeah.
So, you know, certainly the top shelf of the creators in terms of acclaim and history as cartoonists. You can see the list of contributing artists and writers include Frank Frazetta, Jack Davis, Russ Heath. You know, it's really top-notch creators working on this, and it's very laborious.
Yeah.
So if you look through this artwork, you can find, it might even be in this edition, these extras that show kind of the process, but this is layer after layer of revisions, and you can see that here is the process of how one of these strips is put together painstakingly. So very labored over between the creative team as they bring these things to life, and the result is a very polished style and very polished finished piece.
Yeah, now this, you should fast forward a bunch since we're covering a bunch of things, because this is still very rough.
Yes, this is probably more indicative of the Little Annie Fanny run. And this ran from 62 to 88, so this is a long-running feature.
Yeah, man, my lettering teacher at the Kubert School, Phil Felix, he was Harvey Kurtzman's assistant and letterer for Little Annie Fanny in the 80s. And he would talk about, like, man, whenever Harv and Will wanted to take a trip to, like, Hawaii, they would go to Hef and tell them about, like, the Little Annie Fanny in Hawaii story that they wanted to do. And then he would bust out that expense account, that expense card, and send them on their way, man.
Yeah, I'm sure they needed to go to Hawaii to get this this reference in the back. Very, you couldn't figure that out without being on the scene.
No Google image search.
What's a surfboard look like?
But, man, I think we're getting into, like, some of the Frazetta. Because the thing about Frazetta, and it's like one of the images where she's under the water, like, he got fired almost immediately because Kurtzman was like, don't put so many veins in her boobs, dude. Like what are you doing? Like, this ain't real life, man. This is Little Annie Fanny.
How about that stuff?
Oh, Staranko.
So, you know, the conceit here, of course, is she's relatively innocent, but always ends up somehow losing her clothes in the course of these stories.
When Kurtzman is getting his most bougie, he equates her to Voltaire's Candide character.
There you go. So that's your taste of Little Annie Fanny. Dark Horse published this collection.
Two volumes. I think
they're, right, two volumes of this. I don't know if these are out of print or hard to find or not. It's usually considered kind of lesser in terms of Harvey Kurtzman's output and work. But man, a lot of work goes into it. Certainly visually, these are very highly polished, high level of craft, but maybe some of that life is just squeezed out by the editorial process that Hefner put them through.
I mean, the drawing is, you know, the painting is incredible. I love Harvey Kurtzman. I am not a fan of his humor that much. He's not that funny to me. It's very old school. You know, it's as funny to me as, like, you know, Niagara Falls, slowly I turned. You tell me that's a joke? What the fuck are you smoking? You know what I'm saying? It's old school shit.
It's very parody, and I think of the time.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Like, here we're entering Lichtenstein pop art.
But I do appreciate kind of like the visual panache. Like, they are going for it, you know, and being pretty inventive. You know, a couple pages ago we were in Hawaii, and now we're looking at contemporary art. You know, even the Warhol soup can making an appearance. Always some comics never too far from Kurtzman's mind, but beautiful to look at for sure. And it's Harvey Kurtzman, you know, it's one of those giants of comics, and this is a big piece of his publishing history.
All right, we're getting to Jack Davis is doing a little cup of coffee. That's definitely Jack Davis.
Wow, good pull there. You can almost see it in his way he draws feet. I always think of his feet and shoes as being very distinct.
Yeah.
And sending her all around the world. I mean, it is very entertaining in that, as you say, visually. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Very nice.
More of that psychedelia. Yeah, I mean, we can look at that all day.
Yeah, for sure. So there's your kind of cleanest version of all of this stuff with the Playboy version. And that's 62 to 70. So as you said, there are two editions that'll bring up that second half. And I don't know if they're complete in what they're reprinting or if it's just highlights from that era.
No, I think it's complete.
So Wicked Wanda is coming out of some British creators, and they're competitors, Penthouse, Playboy. You know, if Playboy's going to have some kind of comics, you better bet that Penthouse wants the same.
Look at that, cutting promos right there, man. the dish track.
That is funny, man. You see, it's deflating little Annie Fanny boob.
So it is. Good looking art.
Beautiful art.
I've never seen any of this stuff.
Yeah, this stuff is very painted. You know, like, I do think these reflect these magazines. You know, if you were to list, like, well, what do you think of whenever you think of the Penthouse or the Playboy or the Hustler, these comics follow suit. You know, like, they fit. Whoever the art director, editor, publisher is, like, this is in line. And so, you know, very painted style, probably less humor and a little bit more tawdry. You know, this character is an heiress who is using sex to get what she wants and to manipulate the characters around her in a variety of ways. A little bit more domineering and kind of in charge character, less innocent, if you will, than little Annie Fanny. But look at that art, man. It's such of an era. And this is this was published in Penthouse 73 to 80. So, you know, this collection actually stops before these would have begun their publication in Penthouse, but does run concurrently with Little Annie Fanny that continues into the late 80s.
Should have pulled out the other Annie Fanny and looked at that one instead, because I remember there's a Rocket Wrestling Hulk Hogan
story. Have to dig that one out on our own. I do like this art, though. I think it's very attractive. Much more, you know, again, less of the Bigfoot cartooning.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit more of the pin-up kind of good girl type art. But look at, like, the color and stuff is pretty distinct.
It's still pretty conservative for a Penthouse, though. Like, I was expecting much more splayed leg work and stuff.
Yeah, these are narratives. You know, this is not, I don't know that you're buying Penthouse to be titillated by this strip. This is definitely, they're trying to, I guess, be competitive with Playboy. Like I said, if Playboy has some narrative comics, so do we.
Right.
So that's your taste of this. There was a one-shot collection of this stuff published, I think, in the mid-70s, so it wouldn't have been everything, you know, wouldn't have been a comprehensive collection, because they continued to produce these after that collection, and much more in line with what we're going to see with the Hustler collection here. At least that's the way I picture it. I haven't seen the Penthouse collection, but I believe it's in this kind of format, like a magazine. If you're a magazine publisher, that's probably what you're going to collect these in.
From what I understand, Guccione, the publisher of mm-hmm. Penthouse, was a comics fan in the same way that Hefner was, you know, failed cartoonist, like, interested right. in the format and stuff. Larry Flint, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that he has that in his background. This strip was done written by Frederick Mullally and drawn by Ron Embleton. And I think at some point the writer and Guccione had a falling out and Guccione kind of took over. Although the strips that I'm showing here, that's who's signing all of those.
The original guy.
Yeah, the original guy. So he's still on board for these. And I don't know when his tenure ended, but I guess at some point they went in different directions. But that is your Wicked Wanda.
That writer probably made a joke about Caligula.
Could be.
And Bob sent him on his way.
My friend who has an antique store, or did have an antique store, came across this. You know, people who bring books in and stuff. So that's how I ended up with a copy of this. This is kind of an expensive one to track down. But this is Hustler, which would have been the dirtiest of these magazines. And you can kind of see production values. You know, this is the cheapest production values by far.
I was thinking there's probably a lot of magenta plates being used.
And this character is, she's a hooker. You know, like, it's full on, this is just a sex comic.
Right.
No ifs, ands, or buts, and no aspirations for anything higher than that. And as you can see, probably drawn and created pretty quickly. Jim McQuaid, the creator of Honey Hooker. And I don't know, you know, how much we even need to flip through. It's all pretty much of the same stuff.
Right.
I like these kind of comics. Like, you know, you can see they're very cartoony. They're kind of, I don't know if it's watercolor or marker or what is coloring these things.
Right.
But these are what I would think of as like indie comic values in a lot of ways. You know, almost like underground comics or something of that sort. Much, I hate to say lower level of craft, but you can see it even in the lettering where things just aren't as neatly done.
It's real raw. Like, what I will say about it though is that, like, this, the person who made the comic, it's not some illustrator outside of comics being tasked with making a comic. Like, you could sniff that stuff out like a truffle pig. You know what I'm saying? This is somebody who is down with making comics. Did he ever make another comic?
That's a good question. And I didn't go down that rabbit hole, but it certainly seems like he may have. And this ran, I'm not sure how long this actually ran for. This is like 1977 is this book.
Probably usurped by the Chester the Molester strips that come after.
That's pretty nice. Nice coloring on your aircraft carrier number 69 there at Twilight.
Yeah, makes up for the really shitty water from like the page before.
You mentioned Chester.
Wow, this is good stuff.
Chester Molester, Ed. Another Hustler comic. Bob Levine wrote a book about that guy because he was convicted at one point and the conviction was then overturned. But it's like a 200-page book about his trials and tribulations. One of the better comics history books that I've ever read. Just ridiculous. Whatever gags you can think of, I guess, they're throwing in here. But yeah, you know, there's a long history of comics in porn and in adult publishing. So probably not too far of a line from this to like underground comics in terms of flavor. And then you see basically the Hustler advertising.
That's a Hustler looking lady.
Invading the Hustler magazine collection.
Man, they really put some money into that cover.
They did, yeah, for sure. Which, you know, pretty typical, I think, of Hustler, right? Or of any of these kind of exploitation kind of movies, books, anything. You spend a lot of money on the covers.
Sure, yeah.
There's a tour through the X-rated women comics characters of Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler.
Jim, it was an education. Should we get out of here?
That's all I have.
K-favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when the next videos are available. Octobriana's in stores now. Selling out quick. Get it while it's hot. Patreon.com/EdPiskor. Serialized in the Red Room comic strips. They're going to start coming out early-ish next year. What else?
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter to keep up with everything we have going on. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
All right, man, let's go draw some tawdry comics of our own, Jim. Give them the marching orders, dude.
Read more comics.